Okay, so the first question was about putting on tefillin, specifically outside of shul, which is something that Mr. Burr brings down as a proper thing to do. He brings it down from the Zohar. So I over the years, asked around about this a lot, and although there is no question that there are plenty of people that are makbid on it, Chashuvim and others that are makbid on it, and it seems that it's certainly a good thing to do. I don't know of any stop or reason not to do it, but the Idach Kisa does not seem to be something that even many Gedol Yisrael were makbid on. For example, I could just tell you from my own experience, witnessing, it was only over 2 weeks, but about 20 years ago, I spent a number of weeks in Eretz Yisrael, and during the first 2 weeks, I was davening. It was Ben Hazmanim. It was right after Tisha B'Av, and Rabbi Yashav was invited to Gan during that time, which he used to go after Tisha B'Av to stay by his son-in-law and daughter for a few weeks as his, take a break. So he was davening at a specific minyan in the 6:30 minyan, etc. Anyway, and his son-in-law was like a half a block away from the shul, and every morning he used to walk from the house carrying his towel and tefillin and walk into the shul and walk up to the front bench and put his towel and tefillin on in the shul. There was an earlier minyan going on. He used to have the 6:30 minyan, but there was a minyan before that, and he used to come in during the first minyan and walk, like I said, walk right up to the front. He sat not on the bench, but he sat on the front bench there and put on his towel and tefillin right at the shul. He easily could have done it outside of the shul, and he could have done it in the house, and which is a half a block down. If he would have walked with his house and filled him through the street in Yerushalayim, half a block, nobody would have flinched. It would have been perfectly normal, but he didn't, and he didn't do it in the outside room of the shul or anything. He went straight into the shul. That's what I saw. But first told me that Ramesha also, Ramesha's thought he used to put on his house and fill him in the base medrash. And anyway, besides that, the scholar of David Zucker told me, many years ago, he told me that he once asked this question to Rabbi Yaakov Kamensky, that why we don't see Chashuvim. For example, apparently the previous Rosh Yeshiva in Torah Vadas, before Rabbi Yaakov, apparently were not makbid on this, and he told me he doesn't know what he did because he didn't daven Yeshiva. He davened at home and then came to Yeshiva afterwards. But he asked him, what about why was it the other previous Rosh Yeshiva were not makbid on this? So Rabbi Yaakov told him a very interesting answer, like on the spot. It wasn't like a mahalach he had worked out or something, even on the spot. He said, because nowadays we don't wear tefillin all day, and we with dafka we can only wear it during davening because we have to have a guf naki, and the other story is that we don't feel that we're right to wear tefillin except for zman tefila. So he said, Mustama, they didn't want to be a mob at the time that they're wearing the tefillin, rather than putting it outside and walking in with it. Rather walk up to where you're ready to daven. When you get to the place, you're ready to daven and put it on, so you don't increase the amount of time that you're wearing the tefillin. That's what Rabbi Yaakov told him, which is interesting response. But in any case, the bottom line is it does not seem to be a thing that Gedol Yisrael would have to back it on. So while I don't know any real reason, I think what Rabbi Yaakov said, I don't know if he meant that as a tshuva shlem or not, but other than that, I certainly don't know any reason specifically not to. But as I said, it's the makor is in the Zohar, so it's probably something that we don't look at as halacha, mamish as binding halacha. Rather, it's a davar tov, but for whatever reasons, people find it inconvenient, or it doesn't seem to be something that's necessary. As I said, not something that gedolim would dafka makor on. Okay, the next bracha is much. The shaila is a shaila mamish lahalacha. Do you make a new bracha after if you remove your tefillin to use the bathroom? You make a bracha afterwards. Let me just make sure. Am I coming through clearly?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you make a new bracha after if you remove your tefillin to use the bathroom? Do you make a new bracha? So what it says really is that if the ketanim you would not because it's mutter to meikar din, it's mutter to be mashdin, it's mutter to pass water while wearing tefillin. But if the gedolim you would, because that's not mutter to do with tefillin. But there's another consideration, and that is that it depends where it is. In other words, if a person is in a beis hakiseh kavua, a place where it's shaykh to relieve himself for gedolim, it's possible to do so there. So then, even if he only goes to katanim, he still has to make a bracha. If he takes up his tefillin, he has to take up his tefillin to go there, because since it's a place where it's really shaykh for gedolim, so then he can't wear tefillin there, because it's regular that a person is nimshach from one to the other. He starts with katanim, but it's not unusual that leads him to gedolim, and therefore he's not allowed to wear tefillin in such a place. The only time he can wear tefillin to pass water is if he's in a makom where it's not shaykh gedolim, so one can't lead to the other, because it's not a makom that's right for that. So the bottom line would be, if a person just goes to a urinal, but he doesn't go into the stall, excuse me, and he passes water just in a urinal, certainly if it's in a place that's even less, suited for gedolim, then he would put his tefillin back on afterwards, even if he did take them off, which is what we typically do, but he would not make a bracha afterwards when he puts them back on. Whereas if he was in a place where it is not shayach, where it is shayach, I'm sorry, it is shayach for gedolim, so then even if he only does katanim, then he would make a bracha afterwards, and certainly if he does gedolim mamish, then that's pashut, that he would have to make the brachas after when he puts them back on. That's really, as I understand, that's really the bottom line with that shayla. I'll just tell you one interesting thing which I observed. I don't want to say who it was, because, when if you see something in years past, and sometimes, I don't trust my memory 100% to say over in the person, the name of the person. Also, I didn't ask the person to explain his actions, but I just interpreted them on my own. But I'll share what I recall seeing in my interpretation, and that is, I was in a house here in Chicago. There was another girl from Eretz Yisrael was here at the time, who used to wear his tefillin throughout the day. And I noticed that he had gone, this was in a person's house, a private house, he had gone into the bathroom, and, in the bathrooms in our home, this is shaykh, the gedolim, of course, a regular, regular bathroom with a toilet. He went in with his tefillin on, and he left the door slightly ajar. He did not close the door the way, like, normally you go into the bathroom, you close the door, you lock the door, He did not, he left the door, closed, but not with, without the latch, without the tongue going into the hole, slightly open, and he urinated with his phone on. So my interpretation of that was that he didn't want to make it a mokum that's right for gedolim, but with the door not closed and not locked, nobody's going to do gedolim, because it's not their heritage, somebody can walk in on him. So in order not this is my of what I saw, in order to be able to leave his tefillin on and go into such a place and leave his tefillin on, so he left the door slightly open. This way, it's not right for gedolim, and he was able to, to pass water with his tefillin on. That's, like I said, my recollection of what I saw and how I interpreted it. So I did not ask for an explanation. Okay, moving on. In terms of the knot for the shel rosh, so it really the best place is it should be on the bottom of the bone. But partially in the cavity there, partially under the bone. But I was like, right. So the question was on or beneath. So really, the answer is both. But it should spawn that area, start on the bone and go down underneath. In terms of the bracha of the shorosh, so it says, should they be straight? I assume that the question is, should they be already b'makomam and then the bracha, or assumed by straight? So the thing is, they should not be fully fastened. They can be, loosely on your head, but I don't think straight or not straight makes the dafket have to be not straight. But the point is not yet fastened, because the bracha has to be over lasiyasen, of course, as before fulfilling the mitzvah, but not too much before, not over lover. So you put them on your head, ready to be fastened, and then before tightening them, that's the best time to make the bracha. So, in terms of Rosh Chodesh, let me just address the 7 before 6. So it says why do we take them off before Musaf if we don't say Keser and Sechashkenaz? perhaps the reason is if there's a Bach at the end of Simin Chavov, just saw this last night at the end of Simon Chavav in the Torah. The Bach quotes from a number of dinim from the Zohar. Chavav is very short. Chavav is very short Simon, but the last line of the Bach is quoting a number of things from the Zohar. And the last thing he quotes is that if a person wears his tefillin during Tzilas Musaf, he is Chayav Misa. That's what it says in the Zohar. Doesn't explain. In my mind, what I always thought, and maybe this has to do with this, I don't know if this has any shakas what the Zohar means or not, but I always thought that the idea is that Musaf is like a tefillin that's associated with Yom Tov. We only say Musaf on, usually it's on Yom Tov, and you know, Rosh Chodesh, I guess, is probably the only day which is completely Mutav Malacha, in which we say Musaf. Every other day we say Musaf, it's an Issa Malacha, either, you know, Lagamri, like Yom Tov, or Chalamoid, whereas, you know, there's still a major Issa Malacha. So Musaf, but they're called, it's a Yom Tov Tikkun Tefillah, so even if it's a day that's Mutav Tefillah, even Chalamoid, according to many, is Mutav Tefillah, and Chayav Tefillah, but the Musaf already, we take them off. Like Chalamoid, everybody takes it off before Musaf, and that's Pasha. It has nothing to do with Ketchup. Pasha, we take it off for Musaf, because Musaf belongs to the Yom Tov aspect of the day, and the Tefillah are because of the Chol aspect. So I assume that it's like a spillover to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is the only time we're saying Musaf, and it's Mutav Malacha, but since the Mutav is a Tefillah by definition, which doesn't connect with Tefillah. Now, I don't know if that's anything to do with what the Zohar means or not, and so maybe what I'm saying is part of the answer, and maybe it's simply because of the Zohar, but okay, in any case, that's what the Bach does mean. Sorry, you can take a look at the end of Simcha Vav. In terms of why we take him off at that point, I don't know a good answer other than to say that you're not supposed to do things while you're davening. I mean, to put your tefillin on, take your tefillin off while, I mean, obviously you can't put them on while you're davening because you can't be masik, but even to take them off while you're davening, when you're davening, you're supposed to be focused on davening, not doing other things. So to take them off mamish in the middle of the tefillin, we want to have them on for kedusha of the tefillin. That's, you know, aiming to wear them for the kedusha part of the tefillin. And then, so LMI, everybody stop and take them off and then continue. That would be, you know, that would be difficult. It wouldn't work so well. And to take them off in the middle of saying something is not right. It's a bazillion to the tefillin if you're busy doing something else. So that's just some of the reason why we simply wait till afterwards and we take them off quickly and try to minimize the hefsek. But I think there might be some merit to that explanation.
When should we take them off on Chalamoid?
Questions brought up about Chol Moed.
Yes, what's the question?
When to take off on Chol Moed.
When to take off. So, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like there's nothing really wrong with wearing them even during Hallel, the Etzim, although I guess maybe that doesn't stem so much with my Yom Tov Tikkun. I don't know. Maybe Hallel is different. Hallel is not a tefillah, not an official tefillah. But, the people take me. Mishnah says even by the Cholamoid Sukkot, you have a consideration that you have to be careful of the chatzitza. You don't want equation of an asterisk. So you don't want the tefillah on the yad to be a chatzitza. Even so, Mishnah says you can really just take it off of your hand. For example, the Baal Tefillah, he says, should do that, right? The Baal Tefillah shouldn't cause a delay for the tzibur. So he should just when he finishes the shot, simply move it off his hand and then continue with the tefillah on. To the bracha on Lulav Nesek and Hallel. But the tzibur typically takes it up before. So really, it seems the best time would really be after Chazar Shatz. Really, that would be the best time. Because even in Chazar Shatz, it's really not the most appropriate to be osaking something else. That's not what happens. I see even by, you know, people of stature, I see taking the most very Chazar Shatz. At least we're not davening ourselves. It's, you know, unfortunately, Chazar the Shatz perhaps doesn't get the chashivas it should, and we, you know, halavai we should be answering and, you know, listening and answering, but I suppose that we are ready to take tefillin off when we consider it to be only a minor, you know, not the same as taking off in the middle of davening mamish. So the lamaisa are taken off before Hallel, usually during Chazar the Shatz. That's what happens with Isaac. But as I said, if you have the Baal Tefillah or something, it's not necessary. There it says Dafkin off. Not because they have Dafkin the Tefillah should wear it until after Hallel. The only other thing is there is a minig that some have. I know they do it over here. Sometimes there's a minig to the first day of Pesach, when the lane, the Kriyas HaTzari, is the Parashas HaTzari, you know, Parashas and the Kadesh and the Hayek Yakiviacha. So there's a minhag somehow to dafka wear them the first day till after Kriyas HaTorah. You know, they do that here in Chicago, at least in the Kohen, or do they do that? Only take them off after Kriyas HaTorah because, because you're laying in Kaddish in the Kibiyachas, so it's appropriate, you know, why take the children off now? Because the Leila's precious, keep them on till afterwards. But other than that, you take it, the standard way to take them off the Kohen. Okay. And just to go back here, so, which side of the bag to put them? So, the Shalyat. What I think is the best thing, the anchor is you want to do it in a way that you're going to come across it first. So really, it really should depend on your heritage, you know, your marital yourself. But what I find the most stable way is that if the bag is facing you, meaning with the zippers towards you, so the shalyah will be on the left, assuming a person's a righty, I'm talking about a righty, so the shalyah will be on the left when the bag is facing you, so that and when you open the zipper, you open the zipper, I guess maybe they're not all this way, but I know my bag is that way. If the zipper is facing me, then it zips from the left to the right. And so I just open it, I usually just open it part of the way, and then my hand goes, you know, a person, like when you shake hands, your right hand, you go to the other side. Typically we stretch out our hand, you know, across. So that's the way we run. So that's what I do. I leave it on the left side when it's facing me, when the zipper is facing me. And I open it a little bit and just take out, and then my hand goes right in, and the shell yad is what's more available, even though technically the shell rosh is a drop closer, but the shell rosh is behind the, it's still in the close part of the bag, and it's not the pshitas hayad. The pshitas hayad, you know, the shell yad. But I think that it just is that having the mouth yourself that you're going to come across it first, and that has to be mouth of the because, of course, the din here is if you do take out the shell rosh first, you still have to put on the shell yad first. You don't switch the order in this particular case, but you want to avoid that because you don't want to be maver on mitzvah. So that's what I think is the main consideration. In terms of the Zohar, it's not really sure exactly the question, though, you know, so there are a lot of Zohars, what should we do? If they brought by the poskim frequently, the things that we do fulfill, we do keep. If they brought by the poskim, then that gives a different status than the Zohar, which is not part. But Afaltikin, like going back to the very first question, Afaltikin, they're not viewed with the same status as Halacha Mamish, and I think that explains, for example, I said at the beginning why many of them are not put the Tzilin on outside with the Makar Zohar. So if it's brought by the Poskim, so like I said, it has a different Chashivas, but it's still Afaltikin, not like Halacha Mamish. That's how.
Is that true?
And there was one more question, which is really, I guess the question the way it's asked is not that big a question, but it touches on a huge question, and that is in terms of the righty-lefty question, which really isn't Simcha Fei, it's really Simcha Zayim, but the Shaila that was written here was a 17-year-old docker. He writes with his right hand and everything else with his left hand, and he puts his filler on as a righty, perhaps after he received 5 years ago. Is there any reason to switch or to do extra now? So maybe this is because for another time, the whole topic, about what's right. I mean, if you see some chazay already, you'll see that the two sheep, you go bus the rov malacha, so you go bus the kiva. And so the fact that this bacha receives this to go bus the kiva, since he writes with his right hand, so he's a righty, even though he does it with his left hand, which is the yeshua, the second yeshua and the mechaber, which is what the Ramos has to do. And the halacha seems to concur with it, at least in this case, at least this way, when the writing is done with the right hand, the halacha says, you know, assuming he could do malacha with his right hand as well, it's just easier with his left hand, but he could do something with his right hand, and he does write with his right hand, so maybe he's like a shell of bishtayot, but he's like ambidextrous, so then it makes sense, but it's still on his left hand. The other way around doesn't work, but this way, meaning if he writes with his left hand and does everything with his right hand, and is able to do malacha with his left hand, then it should come out, you know, but he's still ambidextrous, according to Mr. Bruce Cheshman, he should still put it on his left hand, but whatever it is, we'll leave that for now. But anyway, the bottom line is if he has the shayla to a person that was right to answer, which sure he did, it's not the psak, others would have given, many don't go, even despite the fact that the Ramah says, oh, you know, many don't go that way. You can take a look at the Moshe, there's a shuv in the fourth chayla, he has a fairly long shuv. You want to work at that. So it's the beginning of Aruch Chaim Dalet, one of the earliest Simanim, and that does not come out like Rumah. for the Rebbe, but one has a translator, so one could probably follow that. Now, in terms of the question, should he do more? I guess the question is, should he have to daven? Should he take his tefillin on, take his tefillin and put it on the other arm? You know, temporarily, like turn it upside down so that the yad is near the body. I think that's something you should discuss with his rebbeim. It's not a bad thing to do. In fact, if a person is able to do it, believe shalom, and he's not going to, you know, he won't consider it to be a choking seira, and it's not going to take him away from other things and whatever, then. No, I think it's not a bad. There's definitely people that do that. Definitely people that are in the traffic that they put around both hands. Very briefly, after that, they get a top one way, and then very briefly after that, they put it on the other arm. Like I said, upside down. You know, upside down meaning with the catcher, the chair closer to the top of the body, so that the yud faces in. On the other hand, it is somewhat of a kirchah, and it's not the most common thing to do. So I think the person, should discuss it with his. Whether it's something that would be add to his madriga, add to his Yerushalayim, or perhaps no, and take it from there. That's what I'd say.